The LexisNexis Copyright and Trademark Law Community Podcast. Presentations and interviews with leading attorneys and industry professionals. On this edition, John McEwen of Castles Brock in Toronto and James Davis of Aaron Fox in Washington, D.C., with an update on the application process for ICANN's expansion of generic top-level domains. The opinions expressed by guests interviewed on LexisNexis legal podcasts do not necessarily reflect those of Reed Elsevier Incorporated, LexisNexis, subsidiary companies, shareholders, employees, or customers, and should not be considered legal advice. I'm Steve Burstler of LexisNexis. With us today are John McEwen and Jim Davis. John McEwen is a partner at Castles Brock and Blackwell's Toronto office. Mr. McEwen focuses on providing advocacy and advice concerning intellectual property and related matters, including protecting trademarks, copyrights, patents, confidential information, and misleading advertising claims under the Competition Act. He's also involved in Internet IP claims, including domain name disputes and the introduction of the new generic top-level domains. He's certified by the Law Society of Upper Canada as a specialist in intellectual property law, and is the author of the textbooks Brand Management in Canadian Law, Fox Canadian Law of Copyright and Industrial Designs, and Canadian Intellectual Property Law and Strategy, Trademarks, Copyright and Industrial Designs. James R. Davis II is a partner in the Washington, D.C. office of Aaron Fox, where he focuses his practice on the protection of clients' intellectual property from infringement on the Internet and in the international marketplace. Mr. Davis has extensive experience with legal issues related to anti-counterfeiting and internet law, and he actively monitors current legislative developments in those areas. He also spends a significant amount of time prosecuting international trademark portfolios and protecting and policing his clients' marks. Mr. Davis represents leading domestic and international companies in fields such as manufacturing, tools, entertainment, publishing, internet services, telecommunications, hotel services, and software. Gentlemen, thanks for being here.
Glad to be here.
Good morning, and thank you for having us.
John, as of mid-September 2012, when we're taping this program, what's the latest as far as the opening up of the domain name system is concerned?
Well, it's a moving target. As will become apparent as we proceed, a lot of stuff happens, and it's things that aren't quite according to the script. The script gets changed, so I think that's one of the continuing themes. The other theme is that what we're trying to do is to provide an update to brand owners so that they can follow this program and they can decide what they need to do to protect their brands. We can talk generally, but a lot of it will be specific in that context.
John, I know a lot of people were talking about June being a major milestone date in the process. What happened in June?
Well, it's a bit of a watershed, and also since then, a lot of water has gone over the proverbial bridge. But basically, two significant things happened. Reveal Day took place on June 13th, so they revealed what was set out in those applications. But Reveal Day was almost a month late. Everybody was left hanging for a substantial period of time because ICANN encountered some technical difficulties with respect to the confidentiality of the applications. In retrospect, that set the tone for the process. Things don't quite happen as they're planned, and that requires people who are interested to monitor it closely. The other big event that occurred is that they revealed that 1,930 new applications had been filed in their online system. So they anticipated they were going to receive 500. So that was 930 applications for top-level domain names, and that strained the system, and that's led to some of the problems that we face now.
What impact do you think the new GTLDs will eventually have?
Well, that's a hard one. The jury's still out on that. Some people think that, you know, there's 100 million .com names, so that's really not going to be all that significant. But I'm not sure that I'm buying it. People have referred to it as a wave of change, and I'm concerned that that's what's coming. There are a lot of people who've invested a lot of money in the new top-level domain names and sophisticated parties, and so they think that those can work. And just in passing, it struck me that if you got a trademark on a worldwide basis, let's say you carried a business in every country, that's a lot of searches, a lot of filing, a lot of maintenance, a lot of fees, and an awful lot of expense. If you got the right top-level domain name that you went through and succeeded in obtaining, you wouldn't have something quite as hard in terms of legal rights as a trademark registration, but you have something that's equivalent to it, and you have something that could be a whole lot easier to market. So that's significant, and I think it's inevitable that change is coming.
And as you pointed out, the deadlines keep changing, but the process keeps moving forward. What's going to happen next? What should we be looking for?
Well, the June 13th deadline resulted in the revelation of the application, so ICANN posted them all. They're all available online. And obviously, interested parties should have carefully reviewed them. There was a comment period, which is now available. It's been extended. It was originally to close on August 12th, extended to the 26th. So individuals who were interested can submit comments. They'll be considered during the course of evaluation. They don't have legal effect, but there's certainly no downside of taking that step. And that started the dispute resolution procedure, because the time is now running to dispute applications during the evaluation period if an interested party thinks that that's the appropriate thing to do.
What's the estimated timeline of all this?
This is like shifting, and it's a hard target to hit. And it no doubt will change, because it's being driven by two things: how quickly the applications can be evaluated, and that there will only be a number of finalized new top-level domain names that will be delegated is being limited by ICANN. But what they've said is that they anticipate in June or July of 2013 completion of the evaluation process and publication of the results. And then in July to September of next year, they anticipate delegation and release of the new top-level domain names.
And you mentioned reveal day. What specifically has been revealed?
That's an interesting question, because it's really quite surprising what's out there. Of the 1,930 applications, only 84 were for community applications. So they're operating for the benefit of a defined community. 66 of the applications were for geographic names like .Africa, .London, .Paris. 116 of them are for international domain names, and those are written in scripts that other than the basic Latin alphabet. 230 of the domain names are subject to two or more applications. So the result of all that is, and some of them are more than two, there are 715 applications that will be in contention sets to determine who's the one entitled to that domain name. And basically in that category is app, .home, .art, .blog, .book, and others. And there's also some similar strings. Someone applied for .photo, someone applied for .photos, so they'll be in contention sets. The other sort of theme is that some larger groups applied for significant numbers of domain names. A company called Donuts, Inc., a newly founded domain name registry, has applied for 307 top-level domain names, but some of those are joint ventures with another entity. Google is seeking to register 101, and Amazon has applied for 76. So when you look at those things, presumably those applicants are trying to take advantages of economy of scale relating to the operation of the applied for top-level domain names. The other thing is some of the domain names applied for Google will be open to the public, so they can register at the second level, but others are closed for use by Google only. And then Amazon said all its applications for domain names will be closed and only used for its own purposes. Now, that strikes a lot of people as surprising, and they're highly critical of ICANN for allowing that to happen, because as people of that view see it, the mainland space is being monopolized. 725 of the applications relate to brand names. The number's not insignificant, but there's a lot more out of there, so I think a lot of brand owners are still adopting a wait-and-see attitude. Mm-hmm. And they'll see what happens in the next round. So those are my initial comments. So, Jim, I touched on all of the applications and all the rest of it. What's ICANN going to do with respect to batching? What song is being sung out there today?
Well, it's changing, of course. And as you pointed out, the number of applications greatly exceeded what most people were expecting, and certainly exceeded what ICANN was publicly anticipating. They originally said that they were going to use something called digital archery, which would have been a way to batch the domains by a process where each applicant would log into a website and try to click on a button at a specific time. And the closer you are to clicking on your specific time, the better score you get, and then they would sort of rank them that way and batch them by that. But at the Prague meeting, the ICANN Prague meeting a few months ago, the concept of digital archery was abandoned, and ICANN staff was instructed to proceed with the initial evaluation of all the applications as quickly as possible. Currently, ICANN is soliciting public comments, but it seems right now, at least, the digital archery is gone, that the applications are going to be processed in a single batch rather than in the smaller batches of 500, which was originally contemplated under the digital archery scheme.
And how many domain names, when they finish all this process, does ICANN plan to launch at a single time?
They need to be careful. They like you pointed out, there's more applications than people expected, and they don't want to strain or overload the system. The numbers I heard originally were closer to no more than 500 being launched in a particular year, although now ICANN's website is saying it does not intend to add more than 1,000 in a single year. So the number is growing, but it does seem that there is going to be some sort of an upper limit on how many they're going to be able to launch at a single time, just to make sure that it doesn't overload the root server and the domain name system itself.
As it progresses, it'll be interesting to see how many really net applications will come out the other side of this thing.
That's right. Processing the applications the way they are, you know, they can do a certain amount of work themselves, ICANN can, but ultimately some of these, I think, are going to be in contention, and some of them are going to be sort of dragged down and slowed down through legal disputes and other disputes, and maybe those will sort of sift their way out so that there is not going to be a huge number of domains going live at one particular time.
Another key issue for brand owners is the Trademark Clearinghouse. Why don't you give us the background about what it is?
We're about to experience an exponential growth in the number of new generic top-level domains, which means that once they go live, we're going to see an exponential growth in the number of domain names that are being registered and used. And one of the mechanisms that was included in the applicant guidebook to sort of give some protection to trademark owners was the Trademark Clearinghouse. And it is a single repository that allows trademark owners to record their registered trademarks in a single location, so that they don't need to record with hundreds or maybe over 1,000 individual registries around the world. They record it in this one location, which is called the Trademark Clearinghouse, and that clearinghouse will interface with all the different registries and provide some benefits for the trademark owners. For example, notifying them if somebody files an application for a new second-level domain that is identical to the trademark, and also allowing the trademark owner to participate in sunrise period so you can register domain names before they are available to the general public to protect your brands.
Who administers the Trademark Clearinghouse?
Well, that was just recently revealed. We now know that it's going to be jointly administered by IBM and Deloitte, and they're going to break it up with Deloitte handling the trademark authentication and validation services, which means they're going to be receiving the trademark registration certificates and other information from the trademark owners and authenticating and validating those marks to confirm that what is in the trademark, what is recorded with the Trademark Clearinghouse, is indeed authentic and accurate. And then IBM is going to be more the back end for the technical database administration services, and then together the two will help control the database implementation as a whole.
When can trademark owners start to record their marks with the clearinghouse?
It's not live now. There's actually some squabbling going on right now. A lot of the registrars and a lot of the applicants, as that you mentioned, are nervous and saying that the trademark clearinghouse is not properly defined in the applicant guidebook, and there are concerns on their end that it's not feasible to operate the trademark clearinghouse, or not feasible to operate it with the cost constraints that are built into it. But the bottom line is it's not active now, but if it's going to be of any use, it clearly is going to have to be activated before the domain names go live. Otherwise, it will lose the function of allowing trademark owners to participate in sunrise periods. So we anticipate that if ICANN does in fact allow some of these domains to go live in 2013, then certainly the Trademark Clearinghouse should be active well before that to allow the trademark owners to record the marks with the clearinghouse.
Right. I've been telling clients that I'm a little bit concerned that even if it's working, it's not going to be as effective as people had anticipated, particularly for well-known brands. And that as a result, people are going to have to give consideration to blocking standards, their strategies. Do you have any comment on that?
It clearly is not going to be a panacea to prevent cyber squatting. The Trademark Clearinghouse is just a small step. It only reports identical matches for domain names, for example. So if you've got a trademark for ABC and somebody registers ABC1.brand or something like that, you would not be notified, and the applicant would not be prevented from registering that. So there's no doubt that this is just one piece of an overall brand protection strategy, and I think it's going to be very important for trademark owners to use vendor searches and other methods of policing what is going on out there, because the Trademark Clearinghouse by itself is not going to be sufficient.
I guess that takes me back to my comments.
Yeah, I'd like to follow up on some of the dispute resolution issues and ask you how the dispute resolution procedure is going to work during this evaluation period.
Well, I think that to the extent that it's applicable and you have grounds, it's really of vital importance to brand owners. It's the only way to stop an applicant from obtaining a problematic new top-level domain name. And it works like an injunction, and it's of a summary nature. There will be other dispute resolution procedures, or we think there may be, after domain names are delegated. That one's kind of up in the air, too. So for this one, during the evaluation, the brand owner or objector has to file an objection directly with the dispute resolution service providers, not with ICANN. There are filing fees and so on. It's not an inexpensive process, but I would think it's relatively good value given what's in play. Then the grounds for objection, there's basically four of them. String confusion objection, so it's confusingly similar with an existing top-level domain name or another applied for top-level domain name. And legal rights objection, so it infringes the existing legal rights of the objector. And for a more limited class of domain names, there's a limited public interest objection. That one is based on the fact that the applied-for string is contrary to generally accepted legal norms of morality and public order that are recognized under principles of international law. That would be interesting. And then the last one, there's substantial opposition to the new applied-for string from a significant portion of the community to which the string may be explicitly or implicitly targeted. That one, I think, is getting a little more attention because it may be the only potentially applicable ground for the generic top-level domain names, or at least some of them. And the legal rights is WIPO. There was a program when they interviewed various, not too long ago, the various service providers. And to that point, which is like a month ago or so, they had not received any disputes yet. So people are still thinking about it. And that's basically the dispute resolution procedure in a nutshell.
Taking all this now and kind of wrapping it up and giving advice, what do you think brand owners should do at this point?
I think there's four sort of things that they should do. The first one is monitoring. And there's different sort of things to look at in terms of monitoring. Obviously, one should apply the listing of the applied for top-level domain names closely, and that may mean, in certain cases, digging down and finding what they're about. And then submitting comments and giving consideration to instituting dispute resolution purpose. So that's the first type of monitoring. And then the next one is more, it's a little more difficult for me as a lawyer to say, but one has to look at the marketplace, and it may be a different marketplace. It's the digital marketplace. What is going on out there? What are its competitors doing? Will these new top-level domain names give a competitor a competitive advantage? What response is going to be taken? There's a lot of ground to cover there. It may mean deciding on a strategy of which new top-level domain names to apply for. So you can't beat them on that score, you're going to have to try to beat them on another. And that may become part of the brand owner's strategy to try to service the digital marketplace. And then the next area to monitor is what ICANN is doing and how the process is unfolding. The one thing that can be said positively for ICANN, it's very transparent. You can monitor it, and you can find out what's going on, and you can attend their meetings. But the sands are shifting, and I think it's incumbent on people who have an interest to continue to monitor and follow it.
Sage advice.
And the other one is, like, people are going to have to, and this is, I'm going beyond a legal role perhaps, but got to figure out what this brand owner strategy is for online branding, and how is it going to impact internet navigation? And how is all this stuff going to come down? And how are we going to respond to it? That's the sort of monitoring that has to be done. On a simpler plane, if you've got trademark registrations, and they should all be in good order. And if you didn't apply for a mark, now might be the time to apply for it. Make sure they're in order. And then start working out the strategy of filing them in the clearinghouse, and then going to have, if they're well-known brands, you're going to have to start thinking about whether a blocking strategy still makes sense. And there has been some discussion about people asking for more rights protection measures in that context and to make it easier to block. Now, whether that happens or not remains to be seen. I see the criticisms, but I don't think ICANN has formally responded, or see the request is probably fair to say. Mm-hmm. And then the final piece, for brand owners' domain names, that can be a significant expenditure for large brand owners. I mean, it's frequently said that in the current state of affairs that national brands could own as many as 5,000 domain names because various businesses and blocking strategies and all the rest of it. Well, with all these new domain names, the scope for that number is going to get awfully big. So now's the time to try to make some sense out of, you know, have we gone too far in the past? Should we pare back? What are we going to do in the future? It's all out there. It's going to take some time and effort, but a strategy has to be worked out and has to be monitored.
Yeah.
John McEwen of Castles Brock in Toronto, and Jim Davis of Aaron Fox in Washington, D.C. Thank you for listening to this LexisNexis Legal Podcast. Visit the LexisNexis communities. Like the communities on Facebook. Follow them on Twitter. The LexisNexis Copyright and Trademark Law Community Podcast. Copyright 2012 by LexisNexis. All rights reserved.